Hi, welcome to Skeptic Hangout, the place where we sit back, relax, and chit chat about intriguing and sometimes controversial topics through the lens of skepticism. I am Laura, and I am here with the industrious Josh. Today, we are discussing self-diagnosis. So grab your English tea or your chamomile herbal tea and join us as we discuss the laundry list of diagnoses that we get off of Google and TikTok. This is Skeptic Hangout, self-diagnosis. I mess up the self-diagnosis? Like, it sounded weird coming out of my mouth.
It sounded fine to me. Maybe
Okay, cool.
you're diagnosing yourself with a speech impediment right now.
My brain got ahead of itself, so I forced the word out, and I was like, I don't know if that sounded right or not, but it felt weird coming out of my mouth.
The way my brain fucks itself up, and this might be, yeah, I don't think there's a technical term for it, but maybe I have a problem that could be diagnosed. Self-diagnose me in the comments below. My brain, lots of times when I start to go too far ahead of my speech, comes up with like two or three different ways of saying it, and eventually like my mouth
Blends
will
them.
push them all together and it becomes a mess. Like
Yep, I do that too.
I do that in writing more than anything. Like when I'm writing a story, I'll think I'll have a perfect sentence down, I'll go read back over it, and I've gotten all three different ways of saying it into the sentence. And because my brain's not registering it while I'm writing, all three came out. I don't see it until proofread. So my first drafts are messes because of that.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's hilarious. What I do when I'm writing is I'm too eager to edit. So I'll be reading a first draft and I'll be like, oh, it'd be so cool if I put this here. And I'll write in a sentence and then I'll read like two or three sentences down and almost verbatim is the same sentence, even if they're written like years apart. It's like, oh,
Really?
well, if I had been a little more patient and just read the freaking page before making edits. But our topic today is self-diagnosis. And just to let the audience in on why we chose this topic, it was entered in very, very last minute. We actually changed one of our topics to put this in because we were talking before the show, and I was talking about some of the stuff that I've been going through and working on. And Josh made the comment like, oh, some of that sounds like ADHD. And I made the comment, well, I haven't been diagnosed with it, but I do have some of the symptoms of it. And now here's a conversation topic because we see this a lot on Facebook, and both of us have run into it. And I think actually it's more than Facebook, out and about in the real world, just talking to people in different settings, you hear a lot of, oh, I have OCD, I have ADHD, I'm on the autism spectrum. And there are often legitimate people who say, I've been diagnosed, I have a plan, I'm working on it with my doctor. It's a known issue that I've been dealing with. And other people are like, well, it's self-diagnosed.
A
But they
lot of the
say that
time.
with this, yeah, they say that with the same authority as the people who get the diagnoses from their doctors, almost as though it's equally valid. So I'm curious about that, and I think that's something that we can spend quite a bit of time talking about.
Like, I understand people's wanting to do that, especially in America. Maybe if you're overseas, if you're like the Richards or something, you're diagnosing yourself with something when you could get medical diagnosis on the cheap end. Or free in, however your medical system works over there, then you might like have no excuse to do this. But over here, doctor's appointments are a hassle. Getting therapy is a hassle. So getting diagnosed with these issues is expensive and hard to do. So like, just going onto a TikTok and it's like this definitely relates to me, which I find I see people posting these on Facebook, and hopefully anybody watching this isn't calling you out, but I see like TikToks and like YouTube videos posted on Facebook all the time about ADHD problems, and so many people are like, "Oh my God, I see this. I must have ADHD." And I'm like, "No, you might. You very might. Well, might." But so many of them feel like Barnum statements, which Barnum statements would mean like it fucking applies to absolutely anybody who watches the video, because almost all these kinds of all these kinds of diagnoses on a low end can apply to absolutely anybody. It's the horoscope of diagnoses on TikTok. That's why you got to go talk to a doctor so they can like get a pattern on it, instead of like your brain is going to remember every single time you had this kind of issue, and it's going to make it seem like a massive hit. Where if you're talking to somebody and cataloging it and however they would diagnose it that way, it might just be like, oh, you do this from time to time, but it's really not like inhibiting your life any. It's not an act. It's like something that maybe stands out a little bit for you, but it's not an actual problem. It's not screwing up your life. And that's where these disorders usually count as a disorder, because otherwise, like, I have a beer every once in a while. I can't diagnose myself as an alcoholic yet, because I'm just going over it like, I enjoy beer, but I'm not saying I'm not an alcoholic. That's definitely a possibility. But like, there's more steps for diagnosing you for anything than just like relating to a video you saw on YouTube or TikTok.
Yeah, it's interesting because normally I kind of can choose one side or the other. Like, here's kind of where I fall. Here's where my either beliefs or my understanding falls. And similar to you, I don't really fall on one end of the other as far as a moral judgment against self-diagnosing, right? On the one end, I do understand that medical care is hard to come by, and there's a lot of information out there now on the internet, whether it's just these little TikTok videos or YouTube videos, or whether it's like WebMD, you know, like information on the internet with more complex information about it. But at the same time, we don't fully understand what a lot of these diagnoses are. So I'm not against the self-diagnosis. I know I do it quite a bit, actually, when I'm like, oh man, I think I have this, or I think I have that. The difference would be, I try not to say I have this or I have that, but I kind of understand people wanting to know what's wrong with them and to give it a name and to research it and to maybe even be able to find things that they can use without going to a doctor to help deal with it, like with the amount of resources out there on the internet. So I get it.
Yeah,
but one
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but one thing that also concerns me is that a lot of times the reason it's a diagnosis is there's something specific about it that the doctors are trained to look for and understand that maybe lay people don't understand. And one of the things that my doctor told me as we're going through some of the stuff that I've been going on, or that's been going on with me, is he says, you know, a lot of the symptoms that people have for various diagnoses, whether it's ADHD, autism, OCD, different mental disorders that cause dysfunction in people's lives, everybody has to some degree the various symptoms, right? Like people might be meticulous organizers, or they might be really scatterbrained, or whatever. They might have these symptoms, but it's relatively normal for humans to have various degrees of all these symptoms. It's when it becomes extreme to the point where you can't function in life, or where it's stopping your ability to do something like work or have a relationship or something like that, that it becomes a problem. So not everybody who's super organized has OCD. They might have, I don't want to stigmatize anybody who self-diagnoses themselves with something like ADHD, but I also want them to be careful in realizing that, I don't know, there might be more to it than that you really do need to talk to a professional.
Yeah, and I probably am coming off a little bit dismissive, but it's also because I see some people almost take it as like, this is the thing that makes me unique. And they're like, this is like a cool aspect of myself to have, like the OCD one, especially ADHD. I'm willing to give more people the benefit of a doubt, because of the more they've learned about ADHD, the more like we find people falling in on the spectrum of that. So I'm willing to bet like a good amount of the people that that diagnose themselves with ADHD probably have it, but I'm not a doctor, so I could be way off, and maybe like one person has it and everybody else is way off. I could be very wrong. But like with OCD, I see like little things that are like, oh, this is a quirky thing that I do. It kind of diminishes what OCD is for people. Like I know I've had this conversation with way too many people who are like, I always have to eat 2 M&Ms at a time. I can't have an odd number in there. And I'm like, You can. Yeah. You absolutely can. That's like your quirky little thing. You like even numbers. You're not like actually freaking out like the world can come to an end if you don't eat 2 M&Ms. You're just like, this is a preference for you, because every single one of them, they're not having a tick about that. They're not having world ends. Not getting in the way of them living their life. There might be some people that have that problem with M&Ms. I'm not a doctor and I haven't looked into it that much. But the majority of the people that I talk to is just like a little quirky thing about them that they want to hang on to. Like, yeah, I have OCD. I'm part of that quirky crowd. Which maybe I think makes the disease sound like more of an exotic trait about themselves than an actual problem.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you. there, and I've even caught myself doing it, especially when I was younger, when like I knew there were these little quirks about myself that made me different, but labeling it made me feel special, right? And now I'm to the point where it's like, well, I just want to know how I can best live my life and be healthy. So like, here's all my symptoms, and doctor, you figure it out. And if it's not what I think, like right now, my doctor suspects it's some sort of anxiety disorder, which could have some ADHD attached to it, could have high functioning autism attached to it. But there, until I get to a psychotherapist, like there, we don't know, right? And he's not going to make the diagnosis for me because he's not the one qualified to do it. And so, yeah, it can be really, really, I don't know why I'm losing my words so much tonight, but it can be liberating to find a label and say, well, this is where I belong. This explains some of these things about me that either bothers myself or that I've noticed about myself or that made me proud of myself, like the hyper organization. Oh, I'm just so OCD, right?
Just jumping in real quick. I've heard
Yeah.
people with OCD, they absolutely hate people saying like, oh, I'm so OCD. And because it definitely just like they're living through hell at a time with their disorder, and you trivialize it into like nothing. That's, although you might have it, but the people that do that trivialize it when they say something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a matter of what is it doing in your life and how is it impacting you? And when you choose a label, because it helps explain some of your characteristics, but that's really about it, and you don't really need to seek help for it, then you're right. There's a way in which you're watering down that label, and you're actually making people misunderstand what that label is. So if you are, for example, just a little fidgety at work, because people in general, human beings, do not like sitting still. And so if you take some of these symptoms of ADHD that pretty much everybody has here and there, but not to the extreme, and you're like, yeah, that means I have ADHD. Well, that means when another person really is diagnosed with it and really, really struggles with it, their coworkers are gonna be like, nah, that's not a big deal. I know other people with ADHD, other people can handle it. You're just exaggerating. It really waters down their experience and what they're going through. And that is, I think that is the biggest area where I'm against self-diagnosis. Like I said earlier, it's nice to look into what am I experiencing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And can I put a label on it that helps me to understand myself better? Can I research it? Can I come up with the tools to kind of take care of it a little bit? That's all really, really great. But kind of just throwing those labels out there, like, oh, ha ha, this video, I can relate to it so much. Oh, I'm so ADHD, or I'm so OCD. It can really take these serious conditions that people have, and it can trivialize them or make them menial.
Well, there's also self-diagnosis beyond just like OCD and ADHD. It feels like we're just harping on these two things a lot.
I
And
know. I
like,
think that's because that's what I see a lot on Facebook, but
it
yeah.
is what I see the most, but I could bring it back to like the beginning of the pandemic. As soon as COVID came out, like, you know what? I think I already had COVID because I had a bad cold a few months ago. And like almost every single person I know, I refrain from doing this because I don't self-diagnose. Because I have a disorder that doesn't allow me to self-diagnose. I forgot what it's called. Self-diagnosing disorder. I'm bad at it. So I didn't self-diagnose. So I've like seen everybody like I've already had it. I'm probably safe. I got the antibodies, and they're like ignoring all protocols because they already figured they'd gone through the whole thing. And a lot of them, a lot of people, like I saw them getting antibody checks later on. Like, oh, they never had it. They didn't have anything to check for. And then some people just never followed up on anything, and they just assume they already had it. I'm pretty sure I haven't had it yet, but there could have been like a time where I always have bad allergies, so I'm always hard to say like
Like you're just
whether or
like
not
always sick.
I take allergy pills every single day, because if I forget it, my nose is running like a river. So like one day I forgot my allergy pill, I could have said like, oh, I just had really mild COVID that day if I was one of those people to self-diagnose. But instead I'm just like, it could have been. But I have no proof of that. And I know I have a history of allergies, so I'm going with the history of allergies. That could maybe be called mild self-diagnosis, but it kind of feeds in with where my history is. Like the sun's always coming up the next day. I figure the sun's gonna happen. If I don't take my allergy pill, my nose starts running like crazy. I figure it's the allergy pill. It's about in that same area where it's like maybe mildly self-diagnosed and saying that it was allergies, but it's definitely going where the evidence is leading.
I did the opposite. Like when I got sick, like when COVID rolled around, I wasn't one of those people that was like, well, I've already had it, so I have the antibodies. I was one of those people that's like, oh shit, I had some really bad colds this year. I may have already had it, right? But that was more of a, oh wow, like that could have been why my cold was particularly bad that last time.
But as long as you're not saying I had COVID,
but I have the antibodies.
I know people that like absolutely said it could have been, but I know some people that got a little bit too confident in it.
Yeah, it's interesting how self-diagnosis can lead you in entirely the wrong direction.
I mean, the last time I got really sick was maybe like 8 years ago was the last time I got a flu, but I get regular flu shots because they give them away free at my work. And there's only like 10 of us out of all the 100 something employees that seem to get it because it's ridiculous. I work in a medical area and there's a lot of people that are not taking up on the free flu vaccine. It makes no sense to me. But that aside, I missed my bad self-diagnosis that time was I had come home from Vegas and I'm like, this is a hangover. I've dealt with hangovers before. And then I ended up throwing up at work and had, of course, because I'm a dumb person, I rode my bike to work because I saved gas money. So I was riding my bike home and I threw up on the bike ride home. So I'm like riding my bike, throwing up over the side of my shoulder while I'm going home. Like, that was self-diagnosis gone bad, but it wasn't like the absolute worst that could happen because flus happen just not that often for me. So I never know when I'm actually getting it.
I was going to say, we talk a lot about like the negatives of self-diagnosis. But some of the times where it goes right that I'm thinking about is like when I was, when my kids were younger, I got so used to the different symptoms that I could always tell when they had croup, when they had strep, when they had pink eye. And they, at the time when my youngest
pink eye
was
pretty more, easy to diagnose because their eyes get all
it could be, but there
gross.
Was a there was yeah there was one time where I can't remember which child it was where one of them got something that I thought was pink eye and we went to the doctor and he's like, no, it's actually a sinus infection that actually got up into there, and so their eye was swollen, but it was, so it looked slightly different, right? But I was like, oh, maybe it's just like pink eye, but it's just not like the different symptoms or whatever. And he's like, no, it's actually like a, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically a sinus infection that ends up hitting your eye.
I mean, then the self-diagnosis would have been wrong, but at least at that point, you still took them to the doctor to get it checked out. So like self-diagnosis to me, it was almost like avoiding the doctor. Like you can almost like avoid, you can like come up with like, oh, I figured it out. This isn't anything deadly. I don't need to go to the doctor for it. Like, the most extreme example I can think of, and I've heard this on the Christians like professing how God had healed them, and like, I had cancer and God healed me of my cancer. Did you ever go to the doctor to get that cancer diagnosed? No, but I felt that it was cancer. Like, okay, you may have just had a bad grilled cheese sandwich. That might not have been cancer. Like, you got to verify. It's like these, like they use it as a proof of miracles that they self-diagnose themselves with something like that. You didn't do it. They didn't have to take any chemo or any of that. They just prayed and they kind of dismiss the fact that probably the good majority of the people taking chemo, the first thing that they did when they got diagnosed with cancer was probably pray. And somehow the people that didn't go to the doctors and get diagnosed, that's the one that ended up helping out. So like that's kind of like diminishes people struggling when you're like, yeah, I had cancer and I just prayed it off. So it's almost similar to how we said OCD is just diminishes the suffering of people with the disease, and you self-diagnose with something as substantial as that.
You know what's interesting to me? This is kind of a rabbit hole. It's kind of tangential to self-diagnosis, but I think it's interesting. I just learned that a lot of the symptoms from PTSD, from people who are suffering from trauma, overlap with symptoms for anxiety disorders and ADHD. So there are times where you'll either think that an individual has ADHD or they'll be diagnosed with it, but they actually have trauma to deal with, or the other way around where they'll think that, I must have some sort of trauma. I must have some sort of problem with my brain. And it's like, oh no, you just have this or that anxiety disorder or ADHD, because the symptoms are very similar. The difference is where it comes from. That takes self-diagnosis to a whole nother level if you don't even know the source of where these symptoms are coming from.
Yeah, then you're not able to treat them accurately if you're just like...
Yeah, the treatments are totally different.
And I don't really know anything about treatments because despite the fact that I'm against self-diagnosis, it's probably been 6 or 7 years since I've actually been to a doctor. So I'm probably like a whole mess full of things. And I'm the opposite of
it's just because you're in denial that there's so much wrong with you. I mean, we all can see it. You're just in denial.
I think I'm the opposite of a hypochondriac in that unless my arm falls off, it has to fall off pretty like painfully. Like if it just fell off and I had no pain there, I'd be like,
you look over and there's a stump there where your arm once was.
Like I think my dad might have like some crash test dummy in his medical history. That's probably a normal thing in my family. Arms fall off. So like I'm like the opposite. Like I definitely, and this is where I'm admitting to hypocrisy. I definitely, and I said I don't self-diagnose, but I do. I self-diagnose the opposite way, and I'll explain away any kind of problem that's going on with me. So maybe that's why I haven't been really sick in 8 years. Is just like I'm coughing up blood, and I'm like, blood happens. Like I think I had some.
I got blood in my body. Having it come out's normal.
I mean, I eat a lot of spicy food, so maybe that's what it is. And I just like cut back on that for a little bit, and the blood will probably stop. It hasn't stopped yet, but I believe if I cut back on that spicy food, it will. So yeah, there's definitely the opposite where you're like trying to say you don't have any problems, and I definitely could. I advocate people to go to therapy for things, and I haven't been to therapy since I was a teenager because I had bad experiences in it, and I'm like,
isn't that interesting?
So yeah. I hate therapists for myself, but I'm like, it's gonna work for other people. It's just I don't have a brain that works with therapy. So
no, it's not even that you don't have a brain. Though I'm, oh my gosh, you no, just no, that's I, another tangent. Well, maybe it doesn't. Your brain is resistant to therapy.
I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm saying that's what my thought process is.
Yeah, yeah. That's where you're being hyperbolic about it.
That's where my emotional brain is going. Because everybody has like the emotional thoughts and the thoughts that are accurate. But the emotional thoughts are so much louder, at least in my brain.
They're
so
compelling.
Much louder than the logical shit. Like Spock always spoke in like a real calm manner while like Dr. McCoy was always coming in with strong emphasis on emotion. So like I definitely have a Dr. McCoy brain that's louder than my Spock brain.
I love it. No, I just think it's funny that you said that because I feel the same way. And I think that a lot of people can feel that way. Like the people who very well-intentioned are like, oh no, you should get therapy. Therapy is great. Therapy is something that everybody should do. Couples should do it. Individuals should do it. Are you in therapy? No. Well, I've been to a few therapists and I have, because I've had weird problems with therapists. Like I had a therapist that I went into. I'm just going to rant about this for half a second, but I went in to talk to her years ago when my husband and I were having our first sort of like bump in our marriage. And I was like, well, you know, I need some help for myself, but I want to talk about my marriage. I want to know what I can do about it. And in one session, she diagnosed him with OCD, talking to me and never having met him.
Oh, wow.
And said that he had an addictive spending problem. And I was like, but he doesn't. Like he does. But he doesn't. Right. I was like, and what I had told her was just like, it was just a financial issue that he and I had fought over. Right. Like we'd gotten in a fight over it, but it wasn't like he had like this long-term history of like wild spending. He wasn't going out and like buying random crap. Like it was just the weirdest diagnosis. And I only saw her the once. And then I couldn't go back to her. And I tried another therapist and she didn't work out either, but yeah, it's the same thing. I've heard that therapy it has to be very individualistic. Like you have to find, it's almost like finding your soulmate, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is it's so hard to even get to the first therapist through insurance and your doctor and referrals. It's so hard to get the first, and it's hard mentally to make that decision, right? Like, oh, I need to go to therapy. I need to reach out and find help for this issue. It's difficult because of the issue, right?
Well, like I'm not like pretending I had like a traumatic experience. Just like I never connected with any of the ones that I had as a teenager, but also as a teenager, you don't connect with adults back then.
Yeah.
And then the last one I went to, we had like one short session and they wanted to put me on like a bunch of drugs. I can't remember if it was therapist or psychologist, whatever ones will want you on a bunch of drugs. I'm like, you're a teenager and you have anger issues.
That's
like
all
teenagers have anger issues, so it's like I don't need drugs based off of all this. So I'm like, no, I'm done with this.
Yeah, no, that's difficult. Yeah, I guess I was trying to agree with you and sort of share like the Me Too version, but yeah, it's hard to find the right doctors, the right therapists, the right help. And so when you talk about self-diagnosing or hey, I've got this mental health issue, I'm just going to do the research myself. I know we've kind of crossed into mental health, which actually is perfect for me. It's a good, comfortable place for me to have long conversations, but it's really, really difficult to find the right kind of help. And it can be expensive and it can be limited by availability. Like the good therapists in my area have like 6 month, 8 month waiting lists. And it's like, but I need help now. So it's inhibiting to try and get that kind of help. So I understand why people would want to be like, well, I have depression or I have this or I have that. And then to try and go to somewhere like Google or find a video and like resonate with it or like feel validation from it.
And see, I'm doing the opposite. I'm doing like, I made all those jokes earlier about like my brain doesn't respond to therapy, but in all actuality, and this is probably still my McCoy brain going on, like my brain's fine. Like I don't, like I get sad every once in a while, but who doesn't get sad every once in a while? I don't really get angry very much anymore. So like the anger problems that I was diagnosed with when I was younger don't seem to have carried over unless I'm like, maybe I'm building up and I don't realize it. Cause I've been told that, people have told me when I was angry, when I wasn't feeling angry before, they said like, there was like a blood vessel pulsing on my head, which meant that I was angry. I'm like, weird. Cause I don't feel angry right now. But
maybe there was some sort of tension in your neck, or you just like were squeezing your forehead muscles
or maybe somebody saw something on YouTube where you're like, oh, you can read people's brains, and they were diagnosing me instead of self-diagnosing. I was getting amateur diagnosis on my emotional health at the time. So like it could have been something like that, because it's like, honestly, the few times that people have tried to tell me what emotion I'm having, it hasn't resonated with me at all.
Like I've done
job interviews where somebody said that I was nervous. I'm like, I'm not feeling nervous. So like, I've always just gone like, maybe self-diagnosis, you know, of going like, maybe I'm just not in touch with my feelings. Like my emotions are happening, that they're just not hitting my brain. So like, it's all,
your emotions are happening subconsciously, but your conscious mind is like not feeling it. I don't know. That's interesting. I don't even know what to say about that.
I don't even know if that's possible.
I don't know, but that leads me into where I want to go next, which is not self-diagnosis, but other people like lay diagnosing you. Like I've had so many people tell me so many different things about myself, and like, they hear like this one little thing. I've been told,
I did that at the beginning of our conversation today.
Right. You were like, maybe you have ADHD, right? Which I might, by the way, that is one of the things that the doctor and I are considering. I nailed the ADHD test, but he just suspects that there's underlying, I nailed like 100% ADHD. You got it, girl. But
you got an
he
A
suspects there's
plus ADHD.
Yeah. Like ADHD plus like, no, but he suspects, like doctors know, right? They know that there's more to a person than just a checklist of symptoms. And he suspects that there's an anxiety disorder underneath there that's producing ADHD type symptoms. Or it could be some trauma stuff that I still need to deal with. So it's interesting because like people will hear something about you, like you, what you're saying. I'll be like, well, you're just in denial. And well, you're out of touch with your emotions. And well, you must be like whatever kind of, is it psychopath or whatever? That's like cut off from their empathy and emotions. Like they just kind of don't, there's a.
I've acknowledged that I do feel sadness sometimes. And so I don't think, or unless I'm faking it, but I don't think I am. But it's only when people have told me what my emotions are that I haven't felt
right.
it. But I cried when my dog died. I cried like a little baby when my dog died. I felt that. So I'm not like detached from my emotions for the most part, I guess, unless somebody else is telling me it and they read me better than I read myself. Like maybe I was actually laughing over my dog dying and I just didn't understand the emotion well in my brain. It was misdiagnosing what I was feeling.
I think you just, like, maybe a little bit jokingly, but like, I think you just made my point for me, where it's like, people will see this little bit and this little piece of you and they'll be like, well, this is what you have, or this is what you are, or you should check out, like, I had a
psychopath.
No, I didn't call you a psychopath. I said, based on some of the things that you say, that people say about you, they could make these snap decisions. Like maybe it's this, maybe it's that, you know? And they don't know, like, especially if it's just a casual social circumstance, like at work or hanging out with a friend, where they don't see you falling apart over your dog in the background. Like they don't see you being all like lovey-dovey or whatever with a partner. You know, they might be like, well, you're really cold and detached. Well, yeah, with you I am, bruh. But, you know, like, I just think it's interesting, not only that people want so badly to figure out what's going on with them that they will jump to these labels without actually really fully understanding them, but that people are so quick to diagnose others.
Well, I think a lot of people's problems are everybody thinks that they set the norm for the barometer on how the human life should be. And I'm doing this right now, kind of being a hypocrite by saying this. But like everybody goes off their own experiences on how they feel. And they're like, this is how everybody else is going to feel
normal.
About it. Because they only have their own personal experience, but they don't seem to realize internally. And I always have to like catch myself on this too. Internally, you can guess what somebody's going through in like, maybe try to gauge where their emotions are in a conversation, but don't ever think that you actually have it accurate. Because when you start, when you start having both sides of the conversation or interpreting both sides for how they actually are, you're invalidating their reason to even be there. And you can't, and like, you don't get to set your barometer on the world because you're probably fucked up and stupid and don't understand how their brain's working. So you diagnosing them with like, oh, maybe somebody that actually has ADHD or thinks that they have ADHD does not suddenly get the right to diagnose everybody else because they're seeing something similar on the other person that they're talking to. You got to get a professional in on it, and you can't just project off your own experience. That was kind of rambly, but that was a good point at the
end.
No,
that was a great point. Yeah, because I have had people who they get a diagnosis and I have something sort of similar or a couple of the symptoms or something are similar or the same. And they're like, oh, you have this too. And it's like, but I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing. I'm not talking about the same things that you're talking about. There's just these one or two things that are similar, but I don't have like all this stuff that you're talking about. Or I've had people diagnose me without an understand. I've had someone tell me that, I'm manic depressant because I was going through a lot of emotions after I got in a fight with them over politics and religion. That was probably a bad idea, but I got really fucking emotional. And I told them, I'm like, yeah, I have really hypersensitive emotions. When they're really high, good, they're really high, good. And when they're really high, bad, they're really high, bad. But I don't really have these mediocre, like my emotions tend to be powerful. But manic depressant is a whole nother diagnosis that's very serious, and it does impact how people live their lives and its cycles that they go through. And I know just enough about it to know that what she and I were talking about was not manic depressant, right? Because we were talking about my emotional reaction to something that really bothered me, right? Not I'm depressed now for 6 months for no reason and I need to be on medicine, but then for the next 6 months I'm really manic and I'm really productive. And I do these waves. I've never had that. Like all of my feelings have always had a place to live. Right. And so it's interesting, like the way that people will take either their own diagnosis and now look for others that have it like, oh, you know,
or well, it's like when you haven't heard a word before and then you start hearing it everywhere, it's like the same thing as that, except for you're doing it in mental diagnosis.
Yeah, it's like using a word you heard once but don't really understand. Like literally when that was going around and everyone was using it incorrectly. It's well, like now, you now, think you know. I do not think it means. And what do you think it means?
Well, I think the dictionary changed it to be literally not mean literally anymore just because that happened for so long.
Because it's prescriptive. It's descriptive, not prescriptive.
It literally has not stopped happening. Actually, that might be true. But one thing about the self-diagnosis, and I think it's, and I don't want to make it sound like this because I think a lot of the younger generations are more empathetic for people now, and they're like trying to take the stigma away from like mental disorders and stuff like that. But I also think taking the stigma away, and I honestly, I'd rather lean towards taking the stigma away and having more people self-diagnose themselves than bringing the stigma back. But I think it thrives under this environment of like we validate your mental health so much right now. We no longer think that you used to be like a weirdo if you're going to therapy, and apparently my brain still thinks that for myself, but now nobody else. and now there's like no stigma on therapy, at least for younger generations. I don't know about the older generations, but it seems like mental health is becoming a more and more important thing through younger and younger generations. I think the younger crowd is leading the way in like the way that a healthy person should be. They're probably even better than where I'm at my generation. If you get somebody that's 18, they'll have terrible taste in music, but their mental health and the way they treat social issues is better. So like good on them for the most part. Their music sucks. I'm still going to be the old man about their musical taste. It's bad. They watch bad TV shows, but their mental stigma or lack of mental stigma, is it going in a good way?
Yeah, we are making social progress. Yeah. I know we're coming up till the end of the show. So I want to give you a chance for your last thoughts, but I wanted to respond to that really quickly. Like one thing that I think is really good, like ultimately, as long as self-diagnosis is something that's getting you toward or closer to a solution and not further away from a solution, then I don't have any problem with it. If it's something that, even if it's not, the only problem I have with the flippant self-diagnosis, like, oh, ha, 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 I have ADHD, and like they really don't. Like I said, the only real problem I have with that is perhaps leading others to misunderstand what that is really all about, like what people who have it are really experiencing. But it's not doing any harm to you yourself and your mental health if you're looking into, here are the things that I'm experiencing. What do I think I have? Oh, I think I might be this. Or I'm positive I'm this. The only thing I would add to it is like try and get a better picture of what it all means. You know what I'm saying? Like it's very, we don't have the access to doctors and therapists that we should have. We're like land of the free, home of the brave, and we should have access to all this stuff, and everyone has equal opportunity, and that's just bullshit. Like I've had great insurance my entire adult life provided by the government, and it has been a pain in the ass getting some of the services that I've needed.
I think I have the short and sweet of it is self-diagnosis is maybe an okay starting point, but don't let that be the starting point. Make you think that
Don't let
you
it be
have
the
it.
ending point.
Don't let it be the ending point. You should be like, if you have the means, go to the doctors. If you don't, I absolutely understand because of the like healthcare system sucks right now. Not everybody has the means to do it. And then if you're in there, and no matter what anybody says, there might be a trigger in my brain that will say like I don't think they really have it, or they self-diagnosed it. But like if you think that, don't be a dick. Just like if they think they have it and they're not doing anything harmful to anybody, just like have empathy. Like
Yeah, you have no
understand that
idea.
not everybody's situation is so easy where they can actually get a real doctor's diagnosis. And I feel like I've gone all over the map on today's episode, but I'm always like, while we're doing these episodes, I'm always like thinking things through, and then I'm get to a different angle, and then I'm like, oh, I realized I was wrong there because I was definitely dismissive at the beginning, and then I'll see where I was being a dick, and then by the end of the episode, I think I got the area that I'm going to land on. And yes, don't stigmatize it. Yes, not everybody can do it. If you have the means, though, go to a doctor to get a real diagnosis. If you can't, like you're still valid as much as you can be valid.
So to the audience, thank you guys for listening. If you guys have your own experiences, either with self-diagnosing, with somebody else diagnosing you, with your thoughts on it, let us know your thoughts. Get on the Facebook page and keep the discussion going. And if you guys have any captivating questions around this topic, put them in there and let's get the discussion going. In the meantime, keep questioning.
Interrogate your beliefs and stay skeptical.
Bye.
Thank you.